Chapter 28. Arion. The large clearing smelled of turned earth and death. The metallic stench was only slightly abated by the cool breeze coming off the mountains behind them. The wind whistled through the surrounding trees as the noises of the forest had once again returned, bringing with it a renewed sense of hope and gratitude at having been given a second chance at life. After sending a few men out to scout the surrounding wood and finding no other creatures lying in wait, the king ordered them to start gathering the wounded. Tolan suggested setting up a small encampment near the center of the open valley, which would put as much distance as they could between them and the surrounding tree line, in case of further attack. Arion's arm ached from the deep lacerations he'd received in the attack. He had cleaned them as best he could and packed some material under his coat to keep the bleeding contained. His coat, on the other hand, was a different matter. It was going to need a good tailor. After helping Tolan gather the fallen for the healer to attend, Arion sat down to clean the blood from his blades. As he did, he kept a close eye on Raiden. He wasn't about to let the king out of his sight. Arion had never faced anything like this before. Their entire party had nearly been wiped out in just a matter of moments. The realization of what had happened shook him. How could he protect the king against an enemy for which he knew nothing?
"Those have got to be the best investments I have ever made," Raiden said as he walked over and sat down.
Arion started to rise, but the king motioned for him to remain seated. Raiden lifted one of the short, tempered swords from Arion's lap and inspected the black steel.
"If I had only known the extent of craftsmanship going into them, I would have ordered one for myself. I still might."
Arion could tell the king was trying to sound upbeat. Raiden had always been one to instill a sense of strength in those he led. "They are indeed beautiful weapons, Your Majesty." Arion raised a hand to block the setting sun from his eyes. "I never did ask you where they had been procured."
"I was told they came from a small shop in Rowan. Nothing too special about the place, or the smith for that matter, except he was known to forge steel in a way that made it near indestructible. Of course, I was a bit skeptical at first, considering the price, but..."
He shrugged.
"I figured it couldn't hurt to try. Besides, if they had turned out to be less than worthy, I could have always given them to one of the overlords as a gift."
Ambassador Belcour grunted, apparently not finding the king's humor to his liking. Arion balanced the other blade in his hand.
"I would say he lived up to his word, Your Majesty."
"Aye, indeed he did." Raiden ran a gloved hand through his grey beard. "With talent like that, I'm going to have to track the man down and offer him the position of royal weaponsmith before someone else recognizes his abilities and steals him away." Commander Tolan limped his way over with a little help from a large halberd.
"Do we know how many casualties yet, Commander?"
Arion finished wiping down his other sword and stood as Tolan approached.
"We lost all but two of the High Guard, Your Majesty."
Tolan shook his head and sighed.
"We also lost the better part of two companies of lancers and three of our five bowmen. The last time we saw the Vanir, they were chasing down their dogs, probably halfway to Eremor by now. Much like our Kel'doran ambassador. From what I saw, he was fleeing into the woods like the defiler had called his name." "We need to send some men to make sure he's found," the king said. "It's easy to get lost in there."
"I'll see to it, Your Majesty." Tolan bowed and limped in the direction of Overcaptain Asa, who was still tending to their fallen. Raiden waited until Tolan was out of earshot before turning back around to Arion.
"To be honest, I can't much blame the ambassador. One look at those creatures and I was nearly ready to join him,
He took a deep breath. I can't tell you the last time I've been so frightened. Not just for me, but for my kingdom. For all our kingdoms. Something is changing, he said, as he pushed his fist into his gut. I can feel it in here. Arian didn't know how to respond, except to nod in agreement. To hear the king speak in such a manner was frightening enough, but knowing he was right was even more so. After sliding his blades into their sheaths, Arian followed the king over to where the prince knelt, studying one of the downed beasts.
I don't know what to believe, Raiden said. I've always heard stories growing up about the creatures that were here before the Great Purge, but to be honest, I never believed them. I thought they were just old tales the common folk used to gain a few drinks at the tavern, or scare their children into obeying. But here we are, standing next to not just one, but three.
He placed his foot on the top of the closest, and tried shoving it to the side to get a better look.
These things don't look natural.
Arian knelt across from Dakaran to get a closer look. I agree. They look to have been created by the darkest of magic. The prince stiffened at the mention of dark magic. Arian lifted his head.
Did you notice the way they seem to be focused on you, Your Majesty? I did, but I was hoping I was the only one who noticed. There was definitely intelligence behind their actions, but it seemed to be driven by some sort of need.
I don't like the implication. Neither do I, Your Majesty. Arian stood back to his feet and looked out across the meadow.
Neither do I.
Raiden turned to his son.
You're mighty quiet, Dakaran. What are your thoughts?
The prince didn't raise his head. He slid his fingers down one side of the creature's bloody claw.
I think we need to start allocating more resources into the White Tower's efforts of ridding Aldor of magic.
Raiden didn't say anything. He merely grunted. Arian knew the king had little love for magic, but he had just as little love for the White Tower. The last thing any of them needed was for the crown to divvy out more resources to the Arch-Chancellor. When his father didn't respond, Dakaran added,
I think we are lucky to be alive.
Raiden reached over and laid a hand on his son's shoulder.
Truer words were never spoken.
Arian left the prince to his musings as he joined the king in checking on the ambassadors. Tolan and Asa were there as well, tending to their wounded.
Your Majesty, Tolan bowed at the king's approach. We've sent riders in search of Ambassador Gaian. I also sent lancers back to Erimor to procure wagons to carry our dead and wounded.
Good thinking, Commander. I want to make for Erimor as soon as possible. I won't feel safe until we are back behind our walls once again.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, and assemble the men. I'd like to say a few words.
Right away, Your Majesty. I'm sure they would appreciate that.
Arian shadowed the king. Everywhere they went, he could hear the nervous whispers of the men as they discussed the horrors of what they had seen. A good quarter hour had passed before all were assembled, and Raiden stepped out to address them. He raised both his arms to gather their attention.
Soldiers of Elondria,
he started with a regal air, but then let it fall away with a heavy sigh.
Men, I want you to know that a grateful king stands before you today. A prouder king you could not find in all of the Five Kingdoms for the sacrifice and courage you have shown here. There are no finer warriors in all of Aldor than those of our Elondrian Lancers and High Guard, and I consider it my privilege and my honor to be counted among you.
Our loss today is great,
Raiden paused to scan the battleground where many of their fallen still lay.
Many of you will bury friends, comrades, fellow soldiers in arms.
He took a deep breath.
But they were more than that. They were our brothers. There is a bond that is forged in battle that cannot be broken. And there is no time that union is felt more than when they are taken from us.
Raiden's disposition hardened, his words becoming more punctuated.
I do not know from where these creatures came, nor what we have yet to face. But this one thing I promise you. As long as we stand side by side, those that seek the destruction of Alondria and its people will rue the day.
The men raised their fists to their chest in salute. Raiden stared at them. Many were barely standing, some only with the help of fellow armsmen. Arion could see the pain reflected in the king's eyes. Arion knew that pain. He felt it. It was the pain of losing men under his command, men who trusted him, followed him, men who had given their lives for him. Raiden bowed his head.
May the Creator gather our heroic fallen into his bosom. May he grant them rest from their labor and peace from their troubles, and may we strive to live our lives in a manner that will not bring them shame.
A soft rumble of agreement passed through the ranks as the king, having finished speaking, turned and left.
A moving speech, Your Majesty,
Ambassador Lanmia remarked. He had a sling wrapped around his arm.
No more than they deserve.
Out of the corner of his eye, Arion caught sight of a group of men exiting the forest. He recognized them as the search party that had been sent to find Ambassador Gaian. Those in the hunting party quickly gathered to hear their report. The sergeant dismounted and approached, bowing to the king.
Your Majesty, we found the Kaldoran ambassador. Unfortunately, it appears the creatures found him first. He must have run right into them as they were preparing their surprise attack from behind. We collected what little we found to return to his family for burial.
The king lowered his head.
I feared as much.
The sergeant bowed again and stepped away in the direction of his men.
This isn't going to sit well with Overlord Mayrose. I will need to send a dispatch to him as soon as we get back.
The prince spoke up.
It might also be prudent to leave out the details of the ambassador's overabundance of self-preservation.
Self-preservation? Belkor spat. The man was a spineless coward and a glutton to boot. He got what he deserved, if you ask me.
The king's eyes flared.
Then I guess it's good we're not asking you, Belkor. And as much as I hate to admit the rather distasteful manner in which Ambassador Gaian behaved, I agree with the prince. For the sake of peace, I will merely declare him as one of the many fallen during the battle.
Your Majesty,
Tolan said, with a slight bow of his head, as he waited to see if he was interrupting anything important. When Raiden turned around, the commander continued.
The Lancers are ready to escort you back to Eremor, sire. I'd prefer not to get caught out here after dark.
Raiden nodded.
I couldn't agree more, Commander.
It was dark before Arion and what was left of the hunting party rode back through the palace gates. They were met by the queen and her staff as she anxiously awaited for her husband's safe return. Not able to hide the urgency of her steps, the queen strode across the courtyard, her head high and face calm. Her eyes scanned the king's body.
Are you injured, my lord?
His blood-stained garments clearly not escaping her attention.
Nothing worthy of song,
Raiden said as he reined his horse in.
And how is my precious son?
Elise asked, as she took a moment to study Dukarin. He was halfway off his horse before the animal had come to a complete stop.
He's alive, if barely,
Dukarin offered, with a strong note of agitation, before turning and stomping off toward the palace. Elise offered a relieved smile. She turned to her husband and placed a hand on his leg.
If I had known you'd be so passionate over my returning, Bryden said, I'd try being gone more often.
The king dismounted and engulfed his queen in a full embrace.
I save it for times when I am in deep distress over your safety, my lord. Don't expect such treatment every time you leave my side.
She pulled out of his arms to inspect him once again. You are truly well, then?
I am, and it is truly good to be home.
And it is good to have you home, dearest.
There were many who were not as fortunate, I'm afraid.
They died protecting you, the king. There could be no greater honor.
She linked arms with her husband and led them toward the palace entrance.
Come inside. I'll have some hot water drawn, and you can tell me all about it.
Arian was about to help Tolan unload their fallen when he felt the cold chill of a pair of eyes watching him. He turned to find Amaricia standing at the outer edge of the courtyard. Her posture was stiff, and she appeared apprehensive as she curled a strand of her blonde hair around her fingers. When she saw him acknowledge her presence, she rushed over and threw her arms around him.
I was so worried. As soon as the Lancer Sergeant delivered his message to the Queen about your attack, I feared the worst.
Arian held her embrace for a moment before pulling away and glancing over his shoulder to see if anyone had been watching. His cheeks flushed at such an outright flow of affection in front of the king's soldiers. As much as he enjoyed having her arms wrapped around him and her head pressed against his chest, he couldn't allow himself to be caught up in the emotion of it all. He was the guardian protector, after all, and with that responsibility came a strong sense of obligation to maintain a proper decorum.
A warrior just didn't go running around grabbing women in the middle of his duties.
I told you, there's no need to worry about me. How can I help it, Arian, when I know you as I do?
If there is fighting, you're going to be in the middle of it, and that brings me a terrible amount of unease.
It warmed him to know how much she cared, but duty came first. You'd better catch up with the others before the Queen sees you're missing. I'll see you tomorrow. Amaricia sighed.
Ever the soldier. You know, for once it'd be nice if you'd act like a normal man.
She reached out and laid her hand on Arian's arm before hiking her skirt and taking off across the lower courtyard. Arian watched her fall into the back of the small processional as it made its way toward the southwest pavilion, passing through a row of covered colonnades directly connected to the palace. Once she had moved beyond sight, he turned and walked over to the wagons where Commander Tolan was busy directing the unloading of their men. Tolan cast a wary eye in Arian's direction.
Do you ever get that uneasy feeling, like the stars are out of alignment?
Not until recently.
Arian moved alongside his former mentor and watched the lancers lift the bodies of their fallen off the wagon beds and lay them in neat rows across the lower bailey for their families to claim. White sheets were placed respectfully over each.
Arian, suffering from a sudden bout of melancholy, thought they looked like white caterpillars, all lined in a row, waiting for their cocoons to open, but knowing they never would.
I don't know what it is, but something in my bones is telling me we haven't seen the last of this.
Arian breathed in the cold night air and released. He felt the same.